The Madison Symphony is performing three times this coming weekend. Welcome to the Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland, by the way, and they are going to be performing an unusual program, which is called Composers in Exile. It's going to be a combination of classical music and movie music written by the three composers in exile, and perhaps the centerpiece of the whole thing will be the beloved Wolfgang Korngold violin concerto played by violinist Daniel Hope, but there is a lot of violin music in that Hollywood stuff too, and my guest Daniel Hope can tell us about it. Welcome to the Midday.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
You have a very cosmopolitan background, but whence cometh your interest in composers in exile?
I discovered some of this music about 15 years ago. It was purely by chance, driving after a concert. A piece came on the radio, which was a string trio. I didn't know what it was. And when I hear a piece and don't know it, I try and guess.
Sure.
It had some elements of Bartok, some elements of Stravinsky. And I waited for the announcer to tell me it was a piece by Gideon Klein. I'd never heard of Gideon Klein and did some research and discovered this was a young composer who, in fact, was murdered by the Nazis after he was in the Theresienstadt concentration camp. 15 years later, having spent a lot of time researching this music, I decided to look at composers who did escape, particularly the ones that came to the United States and helped to create what I call the Hollywood sound, the great, beautiful movie music of the 30s and 40s. Much of this music came from these composers who managed to get out of Germany or out of Central Europe and came to America at an extraordinary time where movies for the first time had soundtracks. They were no longer silent and helped to shape this wonderful new art expression form.
And you, like these composers, though, have obviously a very solidly classical background long before your interest in film music.
Very much so. And yet this music, in a sense, it embraces all worlds. For me, it is absolutely serious. And yet, of course, yes, it's great entertainment. Some of the great movies, if you think of Ben-Hur or Gone with the Wind, these are amazing American movies. And the story of the music behind them, I think it makes it fascinating. And I'm just thrilled that here together with the Madison Symphony, we can bring this music to a wider audience. We can perform it live and people have the chance to actually listen to the music and know the story a bit better.
One way to do that is you can enjoy what's called a deeper conversation with my guest today, musical activist Daniel Hope, and there will be three others on that panel, and I'll actually be keeping things under control because I think there would be so many ideas flying around that there will be some, necessary to cut some things off, unfortunately, from time to time, but it will be action-packed for sure. And that deeper conversation takes place at the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art Lecture Hall, Saturday, March 7th, from 1:30 to 3, the concerts being Friday night. That's tomorrow night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. Well, as long as I had mentioned your classical underpinnings, you have performed extensively with Deutsche Grammophon.
Yes, I'm very lucky to have an exclusive contract with Deutsche Grammophon and to be able to basically pick and choose the works I want to record. I've just done a new album, which is called Escape to Paradise, which features these composers that we're going to play here this weekend. But my career, in a sense, with Deutsche Grammophon began with a Mendelssohn recording, which was the first recording I did for them a few years ago.
And, this is one of the most recorded violin concertos of all time. And they invited you, Deutsche Grammophon. It was their idea to perform this particular one, to record this this concerto?
No, in fact, it was my suggestion. But what we did was to do a world premiere recording of the Urtext, the original version of the concerto. Mendelssohn was one of those composers who often just tinkered with his music. And there was an original version of the concerto, which was then corrected by the violinist Ferdinand David. And I thought it was interesting to go back to the source, to go and listen to what Mendelssohn actually wrote before he relied on other opinions. And that is what this recording is.
Do you think it's more difficult then? Because usually when you consult with a violin, with a soloist of any kind, but in this case a violinist, the violinist will say, very nice, but unplayable here and here.
David made about 200 changes. Some are very, very subtle, so if you listen to it, you may not necessarily hear it. There are some incredibly strong changes, like the second movement, where there's a section in the original version in the minor key, which revised is in the major key. I mean, you can't get a bigger change than that in music. So it's altogether a more feisty, more fiery version, which he then, in a sense, toned down later on.
What would we hear in the finale then?
In the finale, you hear at least four or five totally new passages which were then taken out for whatever reason, possibly balance reasons, possibly for the violinist they were not showy enough. In the second version, he actually did make it more difficult. He put it up the octave. But then the very end of the last movement, in this version you're going to hear, is extremely high, very, very difficult. And David said, look, you can't expect me to stay up there in the nether regions. Please bring me down, which Mendelssohn then did. So this way you can hear it as Mendelssohn intended it.
So this is the finale of the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto in E minor, and it's the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, Thomas Hengelbrock conducting, and my guest, Daniel Hope, is the soloist. The way Mendelssohn wrote it the first time around, before many revisions. The finale of his Violin Concerto in E minor, and there we heard Daniel Hope with the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, Thomas Hengelbrock conducting, and a much higher finale. Do you worry about strings breaking when you do that?
you try not to worry about it. You just let things run their course. But, you know, anything can happen on stage.
And so what were the first Hollywood scores that intrigued you? I mean, you mentioned this one, of course, that you heard fairly recently, I guess. When you were going to movies as a young person in England?
Yes.
Were you that aware of the music behind them?
I was, and I was aware of the use of the violin. You know, the violin always represents basically love and romance. Mm-hmm. Whenever there was a big love interest or something happened, it would usually be the violin that played. And you had this fantastic violin playing. These were people like Lewis Kaufman or
Felix Slatkin.
Felix Slatkin, exactly. Father of Leonard Slatkin. Who were responsible for these beautiful violin solos. Then there were certain films like Intermezzo, a wonderful film, which is the love story between Ingrid Bergman and Leslie Howard, violinist and pianist who fall in love. Then there's the film Deception with Betty Davis, for which Korngold wrote specifically a new cello concerto. So things like this were catching my ear. And then, of course, the great epic movies like Ben-Hur, the love theme, again, the love theme of Ben-Hur, the love theme from El Cid. And I think, you know, that really has transported the violin throughout the 20th century. If you look at people like John Williams, who unquestionably was inspired by these composers, things like Schindler's List, and, you know, you have enormous emotional outpouring through the violin. And I think as a young kid, that is something that really inspired me.
And that's true. Now that you think of it, that's the part of the film in which you're most likely, I think, to notice the music is when things are relatively quiet.
That's right. Especially when the emotions are high. And, you know, as I said, this was, when you go back to the late 20s, early 30s, music in film was a totally new genre, just like, you know, talkies were. And I think that the studio bosses and the directors realized the power of music and what it could do. And that's why I think it's so exciting that we can do this weekend in the concert hall. We can also show those emotions. Many of us know these films, but even if you don't know the films, you see the pictures when you listen to the music. But we hear it now with a live orchestra, and that gives it just an added emotional kick.
Raises the whole question, which we could, I think, delve into for an hour at least, and that's the question of, does movie music stand alone, or should it? In other words, does it really hold up in the concert hall in most cases?
You know, I always say, does it need to? I think these composers that we're performing this weekend, you know, Waxman, Miklos Rocha, Korngold, they may not be household names, but the music that they've written, I guarantee you heard it before. If you've seen any of these movies, even just clips of them, you will have heard this music. You'll know this music. It feels like coming home in a sense. And these were great, great, great composers who had very, very successful careers in Europe and were forced at the last minute to get out, to escape. They were lucky to escape. They were lucky to come to America, you know.
Escape to paradise, as you call it on this CD.
Yeah, you know, and for some it was paradise, the composers that we are going to play this weekend. For others it was not. For others it was more difficult to find a footing. They had to shift the whole way they'd been thinking and they'd been writing. But if you think of films like Captain Blood or Robin Hood, Bride of Frankenstein, Sunset Boulevard, Ben-Hur, Spartacus, I mean, you can go on and on. These are really, I think, very much rooted in all of our kind of, in our psyche throughout the 20th century. And that it goes back to these specific composers, I think, is fascinating.
Well, we've mentioned Ben-Hur a couple of times. We've mentioned Love Themes and Miklos Rocha, one of those three composers in exile featured in the concerts this weekend, provided the music for Ben-Hur. And this is the Love Theme from it, which includes Daniel Hope. And is it essentially a violin and orchestra piece, or how would you describe it?
Yes, this is really a piece of dare I say it, lovemaking on the violin. It's very passionate. It's emotion at its highest form.
I'd say you delivered on your promise there. As long as it's so prominent there in particular, what about the violin you're using for these performances? Same for classical as for film?
Yes. It's really one of the most beautiful violins that you could dream of having. It's a Guarneri del Gesù, made in 1742, one of the finest instruments that there is. And was played by some extraordinary people. It's called the Ex-Lipinski violin, named after the great Polish virtuoso from the 19th century, Karol Lipinski, who was friends with Chopin and Schumann, played with both of them. He played, in fact, the Kreutzer Sonata with Liszt. Wow. On this instrument, and I'm tremendously privileged to be able to play it.
And is that the same distinguished instrument that you're playing with Sting?
Yes, it is. It's the nice thing about these instruments is when they're that good, firstly, you have no excuses anymore. Uh-huh. And secondly, it's so versatile. You can really do anything. And I've known Sting since I was a little boy through a very curious coincidence. He bought the house that belonged to Yehudi Menuhin. And that house is the house in which I grew up. My mother.
That's the house that he lives. His current house.
It's not anymore, but he lived there 20 years with his family, and I grew up in that house because my mother was the secretary to the violinist Yehudi Menuhin, and she would take me there to work, and I would run around listening to music, and so the house was extremely important. And Sting bought that house in the early 80s from Menuhin, so that's the curious link that we have. And since then, we've become very close friends, and I've worked with him on some of his albums. I've been a guest on a number of his albums. We've performed together, and for this new album, Escape to Paradise, I was my dream to ask him if he might come and be a guest. And he accepted, and we decided to do a new arrangement of a song from the Hollywood Songbook by a German composer called Hans Eisler, who also escaped the Nazis, came to Hollywood, wrote a number of films, was not as successful as a film composer, went back then to Germany after the war. But he did write this fantastic, very, very beautiful song, which Sting had recorded about 20 years ago with his own lyrics, and he calls it The Secret Marriage. And so we did a new arrangement for this particular album.
And this will take us just past 12:30 when we get to that quiz question. So here's that combination, the violin that has performed with Franz Liszt and is also performing here with Sting, and the violinist is Daniel Hope. Sting and Guarneri del Gesù, did you say it was, that you
yes,
play?
Yes.
And Daniel Hope playing the violin, and some well-wrought stuff there. And the composer, Hans Eisler,
yes.
Mm-hmm, yes. One of the composers featured on the CD, Daniel Hope, Escape to Paradise. And that phrase came from Schoenberg, didn't it?
It did, yes.
He went to L.A. and saw all these orange groves at USC, and, you know, it was obviously much more safe than where he was coming from in 1933, I think.
33,
it was.
Yeah, very much so, yes.
Well, pleasure having you on the midday today.
And thank you.
He will be again performing this Composers in Exile concert, three of them this weekend, Friday and Saturday night, Sunday afternoon with the Madison Symphony. It's a combination of Hollywood music and classical music by the three composers, including the celebrated Korngold Violin Concerto. And at 1:30 on Saturday at the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art in the lecture hall there, I will be moderating a panel discussion about Composers in Exile with Daniel and three other people who have looked into that subject extensively.